Is this the real life?
Is this just fantasy?
Caught in a landslide.
No escape from reality.
Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
All right, that's enough.
This is impossible.
This is absolutely impossible. I'm sorry. With the Skype difference, what are you going to do? But
the time delay.
But that was our loser karaoke for none other than Jacob Jones Martinez, winner of the bracket challenge, personal records bracket challenge with his team, Jesse Loves Munchkin. And
sure,
I think we've been officially shamed.
Yeah.
I think we've been rightfully shamed. And
luckily, we punished our listeners for that.
Absolutely. That's what you get for beating us in a fantasy sports league, guys. You are listening to the Personal Arrogance Podcast. My name is Eric Wahlquist. I am one of your hosts. You know what that sound means, BT Dubs. It's episode 144. And joining me this week, as he does every week, is the other host of the show.
I am Jesse Sundrunk Wilson.
Sundrunk baby.
Mm-hmm.
Sundrunk love. Jesse, how was your week, buddy?
Oh, it was good. Super sunny and nice to be working outside. It only took like 6 weeks for me to hate my life because I work outside to like totally be in paradise.
It's so crazy. Like on Monday of this week, Seattle was literally the hottest major city in America, edging out Phoenix, Arizona by 1 degree.
Nice. Yeah, I know. It was totally anomalous, but I'm not complaining.
I'm not complaining either, man. We need a little sunshine. It does make it hard to work, and I've been sick the entire time.
Oh, really?
So that's a drag. But I did the neti pot. I got a little Afrin in my nose.
You're still doing that neti pot, huh?
Dude, the neti pot rules.
Dude, that's so gross.
It'll clean you out.
It's so gross.
It's not gross. It's like... It's old-timey medicine. It's something that they've been doing for hundreds of years.
That is a logical fallacy. It's an appeal to antiquity, and that doesn't mean that it's not gross or that it works.
A logical fallacy and an appeal to antiquity.
No, that's
how
the
dare
type
I.
of logical fallacy it is.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Well, I'm just saying it cleans me out. And yes, there is a tiny, tiny percent chance that it may give me a brain-eating parasite, but... I'm saying if our listeners don't have to listen to me with my, you know, I'm already coming at you with a deviated septum. Any more plug and I basically just sound like I'm underwater. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's happening. Well, I saw you this weekend. You got me a beer. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I spontaneously got the day off today. So I did a bunch of like wedding stuff.
Yeah.
And I spent enough money that my bank contacted me to make sure it wasn't fraudulent.
Wow, you got a nice bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bank doesn't give a shit.
They'll call you up.
My bank does not give a shit.
The great thing was the last time that happened, it was like, it must have been like right when I changed my number and they had my old number, so they called that number and didn't get through, so they just canceled my card and locked it down.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I had somebody steal my card number last week and I thought it was going to be a huge drag. But basically, I just took $200 out of my account in cash and then canceled my card. And I was a cash man for about a week. I got my new card back. Everything's kosher. I got to say, I kind of liked being the cash man.
Dude, being a cash man is nice. It's not a bad way to spend your money.
I've begrudged the cash man.
You have a lot more awareness of your spending.
Yeah, and like when you have $200 in 20s in your wallet, you feel like a king.
Yeah, like until you get mugged.
Yeah. Well, that was my whole, you know, I do live on the mean streets of Greenwood. So, yeah, but, and then actually yesterday my landlord decided to be super nice and give me 20 days notice to get the hell out of my apartment.
What?
Yeah.
What? How did?
I am going to read this from the Rental Housing Association. It's an official document of different instances that you can kick somebody out of their apartment with only 20 days notice. The one that they're citing is that the owner seeks possession so that the owner or member of his or her immediate family may occupy the unit as that person's principal residence and no subsidiary equivalent unit is vacant and available in the same building.
That's such bullshit.
So they have apparently they have an immediate family member that wants my apartment, and so they only have to give me 20 days notice to get out of here.
That's insane.
How crazy is that?
I would not have suspected that would be legal.
Yeah, and guess what? It's the same amount of time they have to give you if you haven't paid your rent and they're evicting you for that.
What the hell?
Yeah, they have these are how they give you 20 days notice if you haven't paid your rent, if you fail to comply with the material terms in the rental agreement, so if you go against your lease, or if you have a member, if they have a member of their immediate family that they want to shack up in your apartment. An apartment you've lived in for 3 years. I've lived here for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be like you have the amount of time that you've lived there.
Or at least 60 days. Give me 60 days.
They give me 20 days.
Less than 3 weeks to find a new apartment, get my all of my application shit through, and then move out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got jobbed.
I got Steve jobbed.
Yeah. Your new name is Eric Steve Walquist because you got jobbed so hard you're basically dead now.
Dude, it's incensed me.
Wow, and that sucks.
Yeah, I just can't believe it, dude. Like, basically they're like, yo, my bro needs to move into your place, so I need you out of here in 20 days. You've lived here for 3 years.
That's like some sort of like medieval thing.
Yeah.
That like Duke can do in it's the like, peasantry.
It's like eminent domain. It's weird. It's like, what is that? Is that the Fifth Amendment where they could house soldiers in your house?
Yeah,
that's the one that exactly. No one ever talks about. Is that the Third Amendment? I don't remember.
I don't know. It used to be a big deal.
But every time I tell people this, because this has been the topic of the day, and then I tell them all the other shit that my landlords put me through, and they're like, you know, you should actually probably be happy to move out of there.
Yeah, it could be a push in a good direction.
Yeah, actually, you know, we're probably going to move down to Ballard. And
Ballard's cool.
Ballard's super cool. You know, my neighborhood is kind of remote. There's not a lot I can walk to.
No.
So move to a cooler place, start over, get maybe a nicer apartment.
It just sucks that it has to be so quick. It's hard to find an apartment.
That's the thing, is a timetable. It's so stressful.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, man.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But what you can do is you can sit back and drink some beer.
Ah.
Have a little liquid therapy, and that's what I'm doing right now. But first, I need to ask you, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking this year's iteration of Drifter Pale Ale from Widmer Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time I've had it this year, and it's an excellent batch. Floral, fruity on the front end, not too bitter, just like nice and dry. A great like spring, summer time style pale ale.
Cool.
Loving it.
Yeah, I'm having a limited release from Lagunitas. I really like Lagunitas. Lagunitas is one of those breweries that I don't talk about a lot, but I really like them a lot. Mm. And it's their Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale. It's a very long name. They always have very creative things. It's 9.5% alcohol, I'm now just realizing. So, that's
shut down, baby.
That'll shut you down. It's just one of those, it's very similar like a Northwest Pale Ale, but it's pretty strong. So buckle in, kids. We got a fun ride ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm also drinking a nice little taster of Samuel Grant Vintage Cask Straight Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey.
There you go, buddy. Doing the airport special.
I am doing the airport
shot
special.
Shot in a beer. Love that. So it'll be $9. So speaking of our friends kicking back and talking about beer, we did get a phone call this week, from our good buddy out in Pennsylvania. JR, you've been rocking it lately with the phone. And here he is.
What's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. Who shot me? Really? That's brutal. Also Cat Fancy Brewery. I did not see that one coming. But I think you could build a pretty good business plan around a Death Cab Brew Pub, especially if you can get Gibber to bankroll it. You could do Lightness Pale Ale. The Sound of Settling Belgian Ale, Soul Meets Body Amber Lager, and I Will Follow You Into the Dark Porter, duh, of course. Those are some cool Death Cab beers I was thinking of. But anyway, today, I'm calling because in the first week of June, it's Philly Beer Week. And there are literally hundreds of events at different locations throughout the city. I'm going to throw in a couple vacation days. I'm looking at maybe the June 5th, 6th, and 7th area. There's just a ton of events. Some of the ones I felt were interesting. There's a place doing Ballpark Beers of the East Coast on Monday and then Ballpark Beers of the West Coast on Wednesday. Jim Kochevin from Boston Beer Company, Dunkel Dare, which is some sort of crazy double dare deal that Mark Summers actually hosts. And
that's awesome.
Stone is going to have like a dueling cask event at this one place. There's a bunch of tap takeovers and face-off type events. So anyway, thought you guys could check it out and see if there's anything you think I should be hitting up during that time. And stay arrogant. Get off my back. Catch you later. Bye.
JR, get off my back. Dude, Philly Beer Week sounds a lot better than Seattle Beer Week.
Yeah, Philly is like a little craft beer haven.
Yeah. Actually. It's really interesting. So CNN released an article this week that was complete BS. I want to thank John O'Brien for bringing it to my attention so I could become outraged. CNN released the top 8, weird number to begin with, beer towns in the USA. Guess where Seattle ranked?
9?
Didn't make the list. Did not make the list. First of all, is Portland. They said Portland is number 1, which I can agree with that. I would put Portland number 1. 2, they put San Francisco.
There's a lot of good beer stuff going on in San Francisco, though.
3, San Diego.
Yeah, there's also a lot of great beer stuff going on in San Diego.
4, Boston.
Yeah, couldn't disagree more.
Could not disagree more. If you
I've been to Boston many times, and I was hard-pressed to find a quaffable beer.
Yeah.
Just because Sam Adams is kind of from there doesn't make it a great beer town. Also, I'm sorry, but Harpoon sucks deck.
I do not understand. Like, you go to a bar in Boston, they don't have any microbrews on tap.
No, they don't. They just have all the regulars and then, like, Boston Lager and whatever their seasonal is. And then Harpoon fucking IPA, which is not good.
Yeah, and Sam Adams, like, they just try to – they're trying so hard to not to keep their microbrew status. They're trying to actually extend the rules of what a microbrew can be so that they can remain a microbrewery.
Well, craft brewing is what they're trying.
5, Denver. I can agree with Denver. Denver's fine. 6, mm-hmm. Philadelphia. Philly Beer Week.
Which, yeah, I mean, Philadelphia might be underrated. And also, interestingly, Russian River canceled all distribution to Washington State, but still continues to distribute to Philadelphia, which is crazy. And I'm thinking maybe it's because Philadelphia is like this little desert island of awesome beer in the Northeast.
Maybe. 7, Bend, Oregon.
Can't I agree.
Disagree with that. And then 8, Asheville. Disagree? No, I said I can't disagree with that.
Oh, okay.
Deschutes is one of my favorite breweries. And then 8, Asheville, North Carolina.
Which is, that's kind of a cop-out because I just kind of wanted to talk about how a lot of beer is going to start being made there.
Right.
But it's not even, like, those breweries aren't even producing anything yet.
I don't understand how Seattle doesn't make this list, honestly. And there were already people shouting that this is way too West Coast heavy. But guess what? West Coast has some great beer, dude. West Coast is doing some great stuff.
Yeah. If it's too West Coast heavy, it's because your beer sucks Midwest and New England.
Strong words.
Deal with it. Deal with your diastole problems first, guys, and then we'll talk.
I am excited. I'm looking at this Beers of the Ballparks West Coast, which sounds pretty cool. And also, I can't remember. Somebody else sent me a link this week for the top. I actually saw it on Reddit. The top baseball parks in terms of beer, and Safeco Field ranked number 1 as the best beer baseball park in baseball.
Yeah, but Seattle's a shitty beer city.
So. It's so shitty, though. No, but I can understand it because literally every food stand has a different microbrew at it. Every food stand in Safeco has, you know, your Bud Light, Coors Light, or Miller Light. and then a microbrew. And then they also sell 22s in the stadium as well.
Do they?
Yeah, out in left field next to Edgar's Cantina.
Well, that came out of left field.
It did. but yeah, okay. Beers of the Ballparks West Coast, no cover, ballpark beers, West Coast craft beers from ballparks along the West Coast. Angels got Lost Coast. Dodgers have Firestone Walker, which is interesting because both of those are more central California. But Padres have Ballast Point, Rangers Shinerbach, Mariners Elysian, why not? Twins, Popcorn Machine, Twins Summit, Giants Green Flash, and Oakland Lagunitas. And then you got Rockies Oscar Blues. So I think that's really cool. I love that. I'm a baseball fan, and I think that rules. Go to that.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Green Flash is great. San Diego.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, everything in Philly Beer Week is looking pretty good. Seattle Beer Week is happening right now, and I'm like literally like not even excited, really.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm too far away.
Yeah. So, JR, thank you so much for calling in. We also got an email.
Also, I stood up for you, JR, when you made that bad joke.
Oh, that's true.
And also, he said that Sound of Settling should be a Belgian style. I think, if anything, yeah. Sound of Settling should be an American pale ale. Nothing's more American than Settling. Manifest Destiny, baby.
I thought that you had... I thought Sound of Settling should be like a dry hopped beer with bottle fermentation, so there's a bunch of stuff settling at the bottom of it.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah, but I didn't get to that. But JR's Death Cab beers were great. That made me super happy. Like Follow You Into the Dark Porter, that's perfect. I love the Amber Lager Soul Meets Body. That's really good. Really good stuff, JR.
Oh yeah, I just caught that one. Yeah, that's clever.
It's really good. JR, you rule. We also got an email from Roger Dotsy. He's just letting us know he's still alive, and he's hoping to do Connect the Dotsy in the future. But right now, the Night's Watch is taking up all his time. Listener, if you want to get in touch with us, please don't forget to write us an email at personalargots@gmail.com or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. We'll play it on the cast. And then Jesse and I wanted to highlight something just really quick before we go into the show this week. This is the week where we're doing our rate and review drive. So, for all of you out there, Jesse got a little drunk this week, checked our iTunes rate and reviews and noticed nobody had rated or reviewed us in April. And we're not too, we don't need too much praise, guys, but it does really help us out in iTunes. If you're able to rate and review us. For everybody who's done it already, thank you so much. You've done all you can, and we really appreciate you doing that. We have a ton of rate and reviews on there already. But really, we're starting to move up the ranks in iTunes. We're getting into the what's hot in some different categories. And rate and reviews, if you haven't done it already, a couple minutes of your time, and it really helps out the podcast a lot. And it helps us kind of expand our little Personal Arrogance family. So if you haven't done that, we strongly encourage you to get up and rate and review us on iTunes. We don't tell you to do it too often, but this is our rate and review drive for 2013. So if you can, please go on there and do that.
Yep. Thank you.
Jesse, are you ready for a little tiny bit of roll off?
I've never been more ready in my life. I'm going to crush you this week.
All right. Well, we didn't dedicate the show to anybody this week, but we'll just give it to JR for being
cool.
Oh,
no. Come on. I mean, JR.
No, not JR.
Thank you. But I do have a dedication.
Oh, okay.
It's to our mothers.
Oh, yeah. Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday, so to all mothers.
My mom is flying in from Italy tomorrow. Oh, crap. She's flying in from Italy tomorrow. I forgot about that.
Well, See, this is why it's good to think about your mother every now and then.
You know, these things happen in threes. Your credit card gets stolen. You get kicked out of your apartment. Your mom arrives all like the same week. So I guess I'm done.
Yeah, there is that.
Anyway. Yeah, to all our moms for supporting us. Jesse, I know your mom listens to the cast. She's an ardent follower. Mm-hmm. And my mom listened to the first episode, so she helped us get on our feet.
Yeah, exactly.
I love my mom. I don't know why.
In our infancy.
I do love my mother. I'm very excited to have her here. All right, Jesse, let's roll some D20s and get this show on the road.
Let us. 16, baby.
Roll to 6. You win.
All
as
right.
As predicted. Billy.
So I want to lead off the cast with a couple of science topics.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you pay for the universe?
Now, there's two kinds of volcanoes. Some that ooze molten rock, and others that explode.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Is it survival more important or sex?
Great Scott!
So the first one is kind of like a FDA food and drug related thing. Maybe it's not super sciencey, but it's funny. Have you heard the Alert Energy Caffeine Gum by Wrigley?
Not really.
Yeah, not Wrigley. So, that was really bad.
Not Wrigley.
That was Wrigley bad. So, Wrigley put out a new caffeinated gum, and it comes in like packs of, I think, eight-piece packs for $2.99, which is pretty steep for gum.
Well, I don't know what kind of gum you're buying. I only buy authentic tree bark gum, which you can only buy on certain Indian reservations in Eastern Washington. $21 an ounce.
That is good. Island Blends is my favorite of that brand. But when you're off the reservation, you have to buy, if you want caffeinated gum, you have to buy Alert Energy Caffeine Gum.
Mm-hmm.
Where one stick equals half a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine.
Excellent.
Which is kind of a ton of caffeine for one stick of gum.
Yeah.
And they're sold in packs of eight.
Yeah, and how long does the flavor stick?
I don't know.
That's what
Hopefully
I'm worried about.
Not long.
I got addicted to Eclipse gum like a year ago. And I'd buy those Eclipse 60 packs and I would just like funnel them into my face.
Really? See,
yeah.
I've never been a gum chewer.
I don't know what it was.
I've been a gum chew, but never into gum chew.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. I did it after we were at PAX, and you were like, dude, that guy smells awful. And then you were like, oh, it's not that guy, it's your breath.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
That's
but,
so mean.
No, it was. You said it in a way that you were literally like, surprised that it was my breath, because it smelled so bad. You were being extremely candid and honest, which is all you would want from a friend. So,
and then you immediately got addicted to Eclipse gum.
Yes, because of that moment.
Whoops.
Yeah, what are you
going
to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm reminded of back in the day, you could go to Wajimaya and buy this Japanese gum called Black Black that had nicotine in it.
Oh.
So I chewed that like once as a novelty, and then like I crashed super hard the next day and like had a horrible headache.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was not good news, and that might be part of the reason why the FDA has announced an investigation on this new caffeinated food trend, which includes things like potato chips, also caffeinated potato chips and waffles.
Ooh.
Which I can maybe get behind the caffeinated waffles. It's like a breakfast food already.
It makes sense, but the whole thing, edibles are a whole different ball game.
This is true.
I mean, I guess technically, like, coffee and Red Bull are edibles.
Right.
But they're drinkables.
They're drinkables.
But, yeah, because you drink a coffee and you pretty much start getting that buzz pretty much immediately. Or at least I do. And I'm very sensitive to caffeine, so I get jittery pretty quickly. But, like, I would assume that with a thing like a caffeinated waffle, you would have to eat it and then start digesting it. And then, like, 30 minutes later, you start feeling a buzz. So
that's interesting.
There's the assumption that you might eat like six of them because you don't think they're doing anything, and then you get a huge caffeine rush, and then you think.
Are we still talking about waffles? Because that's a lot of waffles.
What? I would eat six waffles, depending on the
you
size
eat,
of the waffle.
Well, you don't count.
Like
you
an Eggo. Like I'm thinking like an Eggo. I'm not
you
thinking
eat
like
a lumberjack who just like his plane crashed and he's been out in the wilderness for 4 weeks fighting wolves.
Uh huh.
And you finally, like, stumbled upon a roadside diner. That's how you eat every day.
I'm not thinking about Belgian waffles. I'm thinking about Eggos.
Yeah. Six is still a lot of Eggos.
Dude, when I was in high school, I created this thing. I call it the Pentagon. And what it is it's five Eggos with...
No, they come in sleeves of 2.
No, they come in sleeves of 12, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's 5 Eggos, and then you put butter in between each of them after you toast them, and then you just eat it like a sandwich.
This is insane.
And the best part is the last bite, because you eat around the crust, and then the middle is just this glob of buttery Eggo, and you eat it. It's so good.
Just imagine how happy you would have been if it was caffeinated buttery Eggo.
Oh God, I would be dead. I wouldn't be podcasting.
So Wrigley pulled this product voluntarily.
Uh huh.
But basically because they were facing investigation by the FDA whether or not this was okay.
They pulled an Ohio State for all of our college football fans.
Mm, I totally understand and appreciate that reference.
Yep.
So that's what's going on in the world of caffeinated food items.
Watch out for the caffeine gum, man.
Go ahead.
People need to realize that, like, caffeine is not, like, the thing about caffeine is there's no age restriction on it, right? I don't think they're necessarily.
And maybe there should be.
Well, maybe there should be for certain caffeine per volume. Like, obviously, like Coca-Cola. Like, I used to drink Pepsi a lot when I was a kid.
That's a good point. There's like Coca-Cola and Mountain Dew everywhere.
Well, I drank a lot of Mountain Dew one night and had a panic attack because it was 6 in the morning and I couldn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
That was after a night of D&D playing. Revealing a lot of great things about myself in high school right now.
And by high school, you mean 3 weeks ago.
Yes. I know when I was a kid, like my mom would not let me drink Jolt, and she wouldn't let me drink like Red Bull. Like,
right.
there was kind of restrictions on that stuff. There were parental restrictions. I think mostly because she didn't want me bouncing off the walls. But maybe there should be certain like caffeine by volume restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing, is these are basically teenagers are trying to do this stuff. Right.
Yeah. This is for people at school. This is for high schoolers.
Yeah, or like junior hires. Like I remember the thing was like, can you chug a Jolt? Like that was like a thing. Or like remember when Surge came out?
Do you remember Surge?
Good. I love Surge.
Yeah, Surge is great.
Anyway, yeah, but I feel like these are kind of targeting younger people, and I don't know if we should be jamming caffeine down the throats of our young people.
Right.
Why can't we just be sophisticated and have like an espresso? We don't need to have, like, 12 pieces of caffeine gum or a pentagon of caffeine waffles.
I love a pentagon of caffeine waffles for breakfast, though. Nothing gets you going. And stopping, quite like...
Exactly. What else is going on in science world?
So, for my second and final science trend is that scientists have discovered the species... with the most sensitive ears on the planet.
Ooh.
Do you want to guess what it is?
Species with the most sensitive ears. So, of course, you got, like, bats.
Uh-huh.
You know, echolocation.
Right.
Dogs are notoriously good listeners. I know at least every dog that I've talked to is. I don't know. What do you got?
You're actually super close with bats.
Bat dog?
Yeah, bat boy. Has been found by the Weekly World News to have the most sensitive ears. No,
that's why he's screaming in that picture.
Yeah. Everyone shut up!
Whisper!
Just whisper! that's my Bat Boy impersonation, I guess.
Yep. So moths, huh?
It's moths, and the reason is because moths are being eaten by bats so much.
Makes sense.
So the moths that don't have the hearing power to avoid the bats are consumed so rapidly that they have developed the most sensitive ears on the planet.
So moths are like bat boying the bats.
Turnabout is fair play. They've bat boyed the bats.
So they can like hear the echolocation. And then they're like,
apparently moths also communicate by what they say, communicate by producing ultrasound, which I'm guessing is echolocation.
Yep. Well, so, I don't know. Because, like, echolocation is like sonar.
Right.
So, I think ultrasound would be something else. Like, that's your baby looking at stuff, right?
I think so.
It's your baby.
I love that in this article, the only controversy, it's like, well, it's either happened because they need to survive against bats that are eating them so much, or it's the other possibility is that their ears help females hear the mating calls of males.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either sex or survival. Murder.
It's either survival or sex.
It's basically like a soap opera.
It's basically like Mythbusters.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's actually in our science theme song, is Jamie Hyneman saying, what's more important, science or survival or sex?
Oh, I see, yeah.
It's very exciting. We've come full circle.
It is very exciting. I also like, I mean, the theme here is survivability, you know, survival of the most adaptable.
Word.
And my computer algorithm for advertisements apparently has adapted.
Uh-huh.
As I'm looking at this website, because
got a lot of overstock.
Nope, getting a lot of discount mugs, personalized glassware.
Ooh, hey now.
Yeah, I was checking out possibly buying personalized glassware for the wedding, but it's gonna be like a couple $100s. I don't know if I want to do that.
Oh wow, yeah, that's not a good idea.
But it would be cool.
Pick and choose, buddy. And just think, the day after your wedding, will you care? That's the main thing you have to, that's like the good gauge.
That's a good point, but I'm also serving these homebrews.
Oh yeah.
They're not like drink them by the pint homebrews. They're like drink them by the 5 ounces. Oh. So I kind of want to get like personalized little glasses.
Uh huh.
So yeah. I don't know.
That's cool, man.
It would be cool. It'd be party favor is the other thing.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Fool. Yeah. Ads are weird, and so are moths.
whatever we were just talking about.
Wriggly gum.
I already forgot.
Yep. Yeah, moths are. At least they've evolved. But can you imagine being a moth?
It would suck being a moth. Hearing... No, it would suck.
Why?
Because you're a little larva, and you're doing your larva thing, right? And you mm-hmm. have a larva buddy,
mm-hmm.
and you grow up and you're best friends, right? The two, you, the moth larva, and your larva buddy. Then you go into your little cocoon, both of you. You go into a cocoon. You grow, you come out, and you're a moth. And then your buddy comes out, and it's a freaking monarch butterfly.
Yeah.
And then you, like, float around some human. And they're like, gross, kill it. Send the bats to destroy it. And then the monarch butterfly does the same thing, and the humans are just like, oh, what a beautiful, magnificent thing.
Right.
It sucks for moths.
Yeah, but you do get to eat sweaters, which is cool.
That's true. That's awesome.
And then the second cool part about it is that you can hear bats coming. But can you imagine being a moth and then hearing the sonar, and you're like, where's it from? Where did it come from? And then you're like, and then just boom, it's over.
Yeah, it'd be like being a submarine. Like, someone's pinging us.
Right.
You can hear it.
You can't find them. And then all of a sudden you get hit from behind. Fuck. Oh, man. It'd be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Then the lady moths are like, his ears weren't good enough. Moving on.
Moving on.
Like, I loved you, Susan.
Plus, they're really good at getting lost in windows.
That's true. If I had one magical power, like one... If I had a genie that was like, you get one useless wish, a wish that will benefit you in no way or benefit anyone you care about, what would it be? My wish would be insects know how to get out of windows. Like, they know that the window is closed and to find another one yeah. that's open to get outside. That's my wish.
I think that you also found a good Ask Reddit.
Yeah, the useless genie.
Yeah, the useless genie. You have to pick a wish that would be useless to you or anyone you know.
Yeah.
So speaking of Ask Reddit, I'm going to now talk about something that I read on Reddit.
Tusked whales, narwhals, the unicorns of the sea.
Extra, extra, Reddit on Reddit, Reddit on Reddit.
That's the way it is.
So, I found this. It's actually not from Ask Reddit. It's from the r/comicbook Reddit. But it got my brain wheels a-turning, and I was very, very excited about this.
Brain wheel keep on turning. Eric keeps on learning.
That's the theme song for my new cartoon, Saturday mornings on Create.
Learn with Eric.
This comes to us from Reddit user SimpFan5, who's got a Kitty Pride avatar on the r/comicbooks page. She says, presumably she, with the Kitty Pride, probably not a she, though. Back in the Silver Age, publishers took old characters and completely reinvented and modernized them. Green Lantern, The Flash, The Atom, etc. Marvel and DC approaches you to do this to one of their characters. Who do you choose, and what do you do? And, you know, I've been on this Justice League brainstorm lately. And we've talked about it on the podcast. We talked about The Flash. We talked about Green Lantern, about rebooting Green Lantern during the Vietnam War and having him be in a Vietnam, you know, POW camp. And then getting brought by The Flash into a new dimension where into present time, where Superman is, and they have a foe that they need to fight. But they're not the only members of the Justice League. And so I decided, you know, what the hell? I'm going to see if I can tackle probably one of the toughest members of the Justice League, and that's Aquaman.
Ooh.
So
I love Aquaman.
I love him too. I love the concept of Aquaman, but he always gets railed not only by fans but also in the comics themselves because his abilities are kind of useless in a lot of scenarios. You put Aquaman in the middle of Kansas and he's completely effed. Like he needs water and animals nearby in order to be useful. So anyway, I actually typed this up. I submitted it.
If you put me in the middle of Kansas, I'm completely effed also.
Well, yeah. I think that's just a given. But Aquaman, this is my Aquaman movie pitch or reboot pitch. Okay. So An early 20 something college dropout, is backpacking the globe, trying to find meaning in his life. He comes from a single parent home. His mother is an alcoholic and his father is someone that he never knew. His father left early. He ends up in a Chilean fishing village and gets a job trolling for Patagonian toothfish off the coast of Antarctica. One night the ship gets caught in a squall and a fuel leak leads to a deck fire, and he emerges from the cabin to try to help put out the deck fire. He doesn't put on a survival suit. All of a sudden there's an explosion. He gets flung off the boat and into the ocean. The sub-zero water flash freezes him. 3 days later, he washes up on the shore of Antarctica, where he's found by a research team who is researching subterranean lakes. They put him in one of the labs, and they assume that he's just like a dead frozen body. But they notice he has like a mysterious mark on him. So they wake up in the middle of the night to him screaming. It turns out he's thawed out and he's physically unscathed, but his body or his mind, he's just like totally racked mentally. He's been having these nightmares of these giant sea monsters, and he can't get them out of his head. And then you cut through some stuff. You realize that the subterranean research facility is run by a cult. And he escapes from them when he realizes that they're going to try to use him or sacrifice him to something called the Elder Gods. And then it's realized that he, in his time in the ocean, was somehow blessed by these Elder Gods. He is their chosen one, and he can command giant sea monsters at will, nightmarish sea monsters. And then the cult is basically, you know, chasing him because they want to harness his power. He bears the mark of the Elder Gods, which looks a lot like a trident, and basically this cult is after him because they want to use his powers for evil, and they also worship the Elder Gods, but in a much worse way. That's my Aquaman pitch.
That's pretty good.
I'm excited about it because it's obviously Lovecraftian.
Yeah,
influenced.
I picked that up.
Oh, you did? It's very subtle.
You know, a keen observer like me can detect it.
Yeah, and basically, like, I'm thinking about this cult is like the size of, like, Scientology. Like, it's a giant cult, and they have, like, billboards and stuff. But it also speaks to a lot of like religious messages. Like he's got like, you know, he has like the Messiah journey of being plunged into the ocean for 3 days and then being the chosen one of a deity. And then, there's, misinterpretations of those deities and blah, blah, blah. And then it's also, he can have giant sea monsters, which are awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Aquaman, baby. Let's Aquaman this shit. I got some good feedback. I'm excited about it. So I've got Aquaman, The Flash, and Green Lantern. I'm ready to just write this Justice League thing and send it to DC.
Yeah, DC, you're welcome.
Exactly.
I have one.
All right.
So Bruce Banner is a humanitarian. He's in Afghanistan helping build schools and teach, you know, science education to the school children who need it the most.
What era is this?
This is modern day.
Okay. Oh yeah, I didn't mention that mine takes place in the early 80s.
Oh, okay.
And at the beginning of the movie, he's spotted wearing a Mariner's cap with the trident on it.
I love it.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So he's a mild-mannered scientist, and then one day he's driving down the mountain terrain of Afghanistan. He's captured by Taliban, right?
All right.
And they knew who they picked up, and they knew it's a super scientist, Bruce Banner, who used to work for the CIA, and at one point created some sort of serum that could turn soldiers into super soldiers.
All right.
So they capture him and torture him to try and make him recreate it. And then he does recreate it, and they force him to test it because they think it's poison, right? They're not going to just take it. So they make him do it first. And that turns him into the Hulk.
Uh-huh.
But somehow, like, he's brainwashed, right? So when he's the Hulk, he acts on behalf of the terrorists like runs through cities and destroys them and like kills innocent people and stuff. But when he's Bruce Banner, like he's, you know, a humanitarian and like isn't, you know, he's trying to stop himself when he's in his Hulk form.
Yeah.
But when he's Hulk, he's like total Al-Qaeda terrorist guy. That's my, modern Hulk remake that I threw together on the spot. So, you know, there's some, plot holes there, but we could patch them up.
I mean, I like it because it's does play to that Jekyll and Hyde Hulk personality that Bruce Banner has, but in a much more extreme way. I mean, yes,
let's make Bruce Banner Israeli also.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Yeah, I love the duality aspect. I think that's really interesting. The thing is, I'm a little concerned because, you know, and, you know, you picked a Marvel guy. Marvel guys are definitely more rooted in science, and then DC guys are more rooted in mythology or aliens or whatever, right? So that's why I was like, well, you know, Aquaman's got to have some kind of deity blessing or whatever.
No, the Cthulhu string is great for Aquaman.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I think, you know, if you look at these classic, you know, Marvel tropes, they are very rooted in things like Frankenstein or like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and like these older tropes brought into like the atomic age of the 50s, which is really cool.
Right.
But there's some kind of weird things happening. So of course the Spider-Man trailer came out, I think last week is when it dropped. And I'm a little concerned because there are scenes in there where he's a fisherman, and then there's also scenes in a place that looks a lot like Antarctica. But that might just be that might just be their depiction of Krypton after a war or something. So maybe that idea is already taken. And Jesse, I don't mean to poo-poo on your idea, but it does sound a lot like the beginning of the original Iron Man movie.
I know. It's Iron Man-esque.
Yeah.
Now that could be like a funny aside, like like he's getting tortured, you know, like Bruce Banner's getting tortured. They're pulling his fingernails out with rusty pliers, and then it pans like, you know, 25 degrees to the right, and then you see the Iron Man cave also.
Right, or yeah, you see the cell that Tony Stark was in, and you see like all the drawings on the wall, and you realize, oh shit, I'm in the same cave.
Yeah, you see like the busted open shell of a Stark Industries rocket.
Yeah. Yeah, this stuff just makes me so happy. I think that fan fiction and fan films and fan generated content is really, really exciting. It's something that I love to sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
And especially, I feel like Batman Begins inspired this in a lot of people to be able to say, how can we, and I know that it's been done in the comics. I know like The Dark Knight Returns is like a huge, reimagining of the Batman universe. It really, impacted the Batman universe as it went forward. And there have been reboots throughout history in the Silver Age. And then now there's New 52 and, all this stuff is happening. It happens all the time in comics, but I think on a mainstream scale, Batman Begins really allowed people to be like, oh, how can we reimagine these and make them, bring them into our own time? And that's what comics have always done. I mean, comics are a reflection of their time. They're a reflection of the culture of their time. So
yeah,
this is something we should always keep thinking about. These are just our modern mythological tales. So, there's no reason why we can't reinvent them to make them more appealing to us in our time.
And that's something that's great about comic books is that they are malleable. It's not like, let's do a modern reboot of, War and Peace, That's still grounded in its own era, but comic books can actually keep up with the times and remain interesting. And you can retell stories and update them, and they continue to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So if you have any ideas, please send them in to us, personalarrogance@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comic book reboots. Jesse, are you ready for some trivia, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to be doing World Domination. Once again, the worst game to ever come out of Australia. And we're here to play it right here into your ears. I'm going to roll a six-sided die, see which category we're doing this week. It's a one. It's Australia. Should I re-roll? I'm going to re-roll.
Let's re-roll.
I'm going to re-roll it for...
It's just too hard.
It's just too hard, Australians. All right. This should be right in the wheelhouse. Now we're doing America. Hopefully there's
a lot of Australia represent.
Hopefully there's a lot of Harry Potter questions. Jesse, this one's for you. Please play along at home. What killed Wayne McLaren, the man who is the hero? What the hell? The man who was the hero of the Marlboro ads. We already had this question.
Yeah, we had that one.
Okay, here we go. What did Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Leonard Cohen, Daniel Lanois, and 3/4 of the band have in common?
DUI arrests?
Well, they're all musicians. But I bet you that isn't the answer. I'm going to say they all played with Eric Clapton. They were all born in Canada.
See, that's not it.
Jesse, this is the Americas.
Okay, North America. Yes. Okay.
Actually, it's all of the Americas. They lumped this in together with South America as well.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, Australia, a country the size of the United States itself, gets its own thing, but we're lumped in with Chile because, they're not far away from us at all.
Right.
I'm obviously bitter about this world domination. All right, this one's for me. How long is the U.S. president's term of office? I'm going to say 4 years.
I got to say indefinitely. Thanks, Emperor Obama.
Yeah. All right. 4 years. I got it.
Congratulations.
Did it. What is the longest the president has served, though? That would be 10 years? Did FDR serve 10 years? No, he served 14 years. Because he was elected to 4 terms, but he died halfway through his fourth, I think.
Yeah, I want to say 14.
14 years of the same president. Can you imagine?
Yeah, well, fucking like Hamid Karzai is still president of Afghanistan.
Well,
so it's like 2001.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, and like Muammar Gaddafi was the leader of Libya for like 35 years or something.
Yeah, but
he was.
We didn't create Libya's government.
That's what you think, man. Jesse, this question is for you. What is the capital of Canada's Quebec province?
The capital of Quebec would be Toronto. I don't know.
Toronto's in Ontario, bro.
I don't care.
I'm gonna say Montreal. Why not? Oh, it's Quebec City.
Tricky Dicky.
All right, this was for me, Jesse. You need the steel here. Who did the USA go to war with in 1812?
Canada, England.
Well, this is I get to answer first.
Oh.
You need the steel. You ruined it, Jesse. Now we need a new question. Which film gave Gwyneth Paltrow a Best Actress Oscar? I actually know
American
this one.
Pie.
Shakespeare in Love.
Mm.
Shakespeare in Love is the correct answer. Eric wins this week.
Yeah.
Avoids the sweep. But Jesse, you did win the roll off. So what is your second topic?
Oh, well, I want to do a little topic that I call Jesse's Jackass Customer of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And as I lamented about last week, I'm getting more and more interaction at my workplace with customers.
Yep.
So basically, I just want to highlight when I encounter something extremely stupid if that happens.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'm at work yesterday. I'm in the brew house in front of the kettle, right?
Got
and
it.
We have a thing. It's a grant, we call it. It's a keg. It's a modified keg.
Uh-huh.
With the top of it cut off and then like legs attached to it, and then a 1.5-inch port in the rear and a 1.5-inch port in the front that we use. Like, it's basically a little container that the beer flows into after it's been boiled as we're transferring it into another vessel for fermentation so that we can basically control the pump speed.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm with you.
Very complicated, but looking at it, you would know it's no ordinary keg, right?
No ordinary
because
keg.
It's got a hose. It's got hoses running into it and out of it, and I'm pouring beer into this giant open hole at the top, right?
Uh-huh.
From the kettle.
Uh-huh.
This guy comes up to me, and he goes, "Washing kegs, huh?" And I'm like, "Well." No, not really. And I explained to him what's going on. And he's like, "Cool, cool. I used to work for a Skookum brewery. So, you know, it was a cool job, but like, it was great because like now I know everything in a brewery, right? I know what all the vessels are and everything." And he's bragging about how much brewery knowledge he has uh-huh. after he just thought that I was washing kegs when clearly that's not happening.
Wow.
And then he goes on to talk a little bit, and he's like, "Yeah, it was a cool job, but there's just no money in brewing unless you're an owner." It's like, "Well, fuck a doodle doo to you too, buddy. Like, I'm trying to make a living in this industry, and you just walk up and like try and be all like Mr. Peacock."
Well, he's probably the keg washer.
Probably was a keg washer. I'm guessing it wasn't a very good one if he thinks pouring hot wort on top of a keg is washing it.
Hey, that's organic washing. I also like I have to cut the top off the keg to wash it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want a giant gaping hole in your keg when you're washing it.
Yeah.
And then he totally criticizes my career. Like, telling me that there's no money in it.
This was at the brewery. Did he come straight from the tasting room? Had he had a few?
Yeah, he had a beer in hand, so I'm hoping he was a little loaded, because there needs to be some sort of an excuse for that jackass behavior. But that's my Jesse's Jackass Customer of the Week. That's
Jesse's
not my
jackass.
Second topic. That's just a little fun fact.
Excellent, thank you.
So, speaking of jackasses,
uh-huh.
There's been a little bit more basketball diplomacy going on between the United States and North Korea.
Yeah.
I actually am kind of okay with this. So what happened was there's a U.S. citizen who's imprisoned in North Korea. I don't really know the details about that. But for some reason, it was a Seattle Times reporter.
Yeah, just took some video.
Tweeted at Dennis Rodman to get him to ask North Korea to relinquish the prisoner, right?
Uh-huh.
So Dennis Rodman's... his tweet was, "I'm calling on the Supreme Leader of North Korea, or as I call him, Kim, to do me a solid and cut Kenneth Bay loose."
Oh, man.
I kind of love it. I mean, you know, Dennis Rodman, whatever, he's a buffoon.
Yeah.
But this sounds so, what's the word I'm looking for? Sincere.
Well, yeah, he's met Kim. Kim Jong.
Yeah, no, he knows him.
KJU.
And he was actually pretty formal. He called him, you know, Supreme Leader of North Korea, or as I call him, Kim. You know, that's respectful.
Well, I mean, granted, Dennis Rodman does call himself the Supreme Leader of rebounds and hairdos. And,
do me a solid and cut him loose.
Yeah,
I love it. How Eric? I'm curious. How would you phrase a tweet to Kim Jong Un to try and release an American prisoner held abroad?
Well, first of all, I think we can all agree Dennis Rodman for Secretary of State.
Well, anything's better than John Kerry.
John Kerry should just literally copy the text and tweet it at Kim Jong Un.
Retweet.
I'd like to call on the Supreme Leader.
That's my John Kerry impersonation.
Yeah, he couldn't even win a presidential election, much less a NBA championship game.
I just love how the last two guys, or I guess, who ran against Obama? Oh, Romney ran last time. But, sorry. for some reason, I'm stuck in, like, 2009.
You're in McCainville.
Yeah, the last two guys who lost the presidential election, McCain and John Kerry, are basically just Droopy Dog and Eeyore. But those two guys were very similar. There's a lot of similarities. Anyway, whatever. How would I phrase a tweet to Kim Jong-un? There's a couple things here. So Kim Jong-un, he likes a crowd. He likes to get his picture taken with food. God, he would just... Oh, my God.
So would you take more of, like, a Tumblr approach?
Well, or Instagram, dude. He would love Instagram. Mm-hmm. You serious?
Or like Kimstagram.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, God, that's perfect. This is Kimstagram him. Yeah, Kim, dude. First of all, I don't know. Did you watch the visit to North Korea from Vice.com?
I watched part of it, yeah.
It's just so weird there. It's like if Disneyland was an oppressive government.
It's not.
Yeah.
More oppressive government.
Right. I guess we just have to take a look at this from the crappiest place on earth perspective. And in that case, I'd have to go with Kim. It's a small world, after all.
This is good stuff.
So, let's...
Some things don't matter, Horn, that much in the big picture.
Yeah. In that big picture. So why don't you pull an Indiana Jones and rescue that American journalist from Big Thunder Mountain?
There you go.
I think that's
it. Perfect. You should drive your cars over there.
Uh-huh.
By the way, your country has a great space mountain program. Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you told Kim Jong-un that he had a space mountain, he would be super stoked if we thought he had the space mountain. Because I have a feeling that Kim Jong-un, if you just told him he had a space mountain or you thought he had a space mountain, he would have a completely different perspective of what a space mountain actually was. And then all of a sudden, North Korea's space program is called Space Mountain.
Mm.
So just appeal to his Space Mountain sensibilities and get this guy home.
Yeah, hopefully Dennis Rodman will be able to negotiate through Twitter. This would be like a landmark thing, though. Like, if Dennis Rodman was able to negotiate the release of a prisoner through Twitter,
yeah,
it would seriously be something for the history books.
Did he ever? I know he was on, I think, two seasons of Celebrity Apprentice.
And Celebrity Rehab.
Did he win? Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't think he won Celebrity Apprentice.
Because I got a feeling that if Dennis Rodman pulled this off, 2016, that D. Trump is going to be running again for P-Dent, and he's going to be rocking D-Rod on his arm.
That would be great.
Let's do it.
Trump Rodman ticket.
Trump Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Who could not vote for that?
Me?
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be horrible. We can find
someone. yeah, I think this is kind of awesome, really. Dennis Rodman's such an anomaly, that guy.
Yeah, I mean...
He was also... Do you remember that they had that reality show that was like The Real World, but they had celebrities in there?
Celebrity Rehab?
No, it wasn't. It was before that. It was on VH1, and it was just like straight up seven celebrities living in a house together. But they were all like... It was like they had the guy, Vern Troyer, is that his name? The guy who played Mini-Me? Yeah. And he like peed on the floor, and there was like Carl, I don't remember. There was like, it was basically the same deal, but they were, it was just like.
Carl Weathers?
I don't know if Carl Weathers was on there. Huh. But yeah, it was basically the same thing. And Dennis Rodman was in that too.
Yeah. He's
RuPaul really, was in that?
Bloody star, maybe.
Yeah. I think, Cameron Diaz. What's her name? Anyway, Dennis Rodman for president. Trump Rodman, 2016.
I agree.
So my second topic this week is going to be a little bit of foreshadowing that we did, Jesse, 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. Have you been listening to the back catalog?
Well, I actually saw an article this week, and I realized that we are the soothsayers of the podcast world.
Mm-hmm.
This comes to us from Polygon.com, which means it is video game news.
Here we go.
So Polygon helps give some commentary to the new The Last of Us trailer. The Last of Us is a new video game. It's only coming to PlayStation, but it's being done by Naughty Dog, who did the Uncharted franchise. And everybody obviously loves Naughty Dog, even though I've never played any of their games because I don't have a PlayStation. But everybody's very excited about this new zombie survival game that they're coming out with called The Last of Us. And Polygon, wrote a little article. They said The Last of Us trailer explains the post-apocalyptic fungal zombies.
Oh, you're on it, Cordyceps, baby.
Yeah, dude. So apparently, before I get into this, I just want to play a clip. This clip comes to us from way back. Let's roll back the time machine to August of 2010, when two wide-eyed podcasters were on their first journey into casting. They were just a couple of kids trying to get their voices heard and talking about things that were a little bit above their thought range.
It's a fungus that attacks ants, and there's like 500 different strains, and each strain is for a different insect. And the fungus attacks them, and then it takes over their minds. It makes them latch onto a plant.
What?
Yeah, it takes over their minds, makes them what? Attach onto a plant so that the fungus can actually grow out of them. Then it kills them and then grows out of their head. And there's one of these for each insect in, like, the jungle.
Why
and
does?
What it does is it controls the insect population. It's in nature controlling itself in the insect population.
And ants are the most successful animal on Earth.
Yeah.
So do you think this is nature's way of trying to balance out the fact that there are so many friggin' ants?
Absolutely. It controls populations.
Wow.
Within the insect kingdom. And so,
that's awesome. It's so, like checks and balances. It's
yeah,
like
it is.
It's like the
that's
presidential,
exactly
the
yeah,
the Congress and the
Supreme
judicial
Court. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's amazing.
No, it's cool. And so we got to talking about this, and all I could think of was, God, this is a perfect premise for a zombie movie.
Yeah,
and the
I know,
reason
right,
why
right,
is because
right, right,
I did
right.
a little more research on the cordyceps and Wikipedia them, and apparently cordyceps are very valued in both Chinese.
Wait, what's a cordyceps?
A cordyceps is a strain of fungus.
Okay, okay.
And they're very valued in both Chinese medicine and medical research. So
okay.
Chinese medicine, very valued. And they're trying to find medical research because apparently this, like, the cordyceps, like, solidify your organs against chemotherapy. They kind of protect your organs against chemotherapy. But this makes them very valuable. And so recently there was a big theft of cordyceps in British Columbia.
What?
And it was valued at $38,000. These things go for like hundreds of dollars an ounce.
That's nuts.
So
that's
yeah,
super
this is like my whole, so I'm going to pitch a movie to you right now.
All right.
Okay. It's a zombie movie.
Uh-huh. I love it.
And basically, there's a research. It's going to be based off of that theft in British Columbia. So it's based on a true story, right?
Uh-huh.
That's in the trailer.
Right.
And basically,
you already got you got the audience who will be hooked on the fact that you can say, based on a true story.
Exactly. So there's a medical research lab in Vancouver, British Columbia, that's trying to manipulate and mutate cordyceps in order to use them for medicine.
Uh-huh.
But then they accidentally create a strain that attacks human beings.
Oh, I like it.
Then that strain is stolen because of its high value.
By terrorists.
And then it gets out into the human public. And basically terrorists what it does told. Is because cordyceps are used to fortify organs and stuff.
Yeah.
So when it attacks human beings, it gives them super strength so they can crush each other. Mm-hmm. And then when it attacks their mind, they latch onto another human being.
That is so good.
And then the fungus grows out of them, and then spores fly on them. And I think it'd be a really cool take on a zombie movie.
Who's our protagonist?
Jeff Goldblum.
I was thinking Seth Rogen.
Jeff Goldblum and Seth Rogen. Buddy cop comedy.
That is two wide-eyed podcasters recording the 7th episode of their podcast.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I thought that might have been episode 2. That wasn't when we were on Camino, was it?
No, we were actually at your house. It was Jeremiah Wilhelm's going away party.
Oh, I remember. And we were on my bed.
He's on that episode. He comes into the room and he talks on the episode.
Good times.
Yeah, we were sitting on your bed in Bellingham. Crazy.
Man, that was forever ago.
Let's do the time warp.
What's the premise of this video game then?
Well, the premise of the video game is that it's basically just a zombie survival game where a guy and his daughter are trying to survive in this zombie city, but the zombies are just a little bit different. They're instead of being, you know, brain-eating zombies, they're infected with a fungus. And Naughty Dog says the idea for the infected enemies came from watching a documentary on Cordyceps unilateris, or just known as cordyceps, a fungus which implants itself in the brain of ants and alters their behavior. What would happen, wondered the Naughty Dog team, if the cordyceps went cross-species and began to infect humans? The resultant zombie-like foes are humans that are slowly and agonizingly mutating. Some infected can still see and hunt by sight, but certain stages of the mutation, they become clickers who navigate and hunt by echolocation and sound.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a moth.
Great time to be a moth.
Screw that monarch butterfly.
Yeah. I just thought this was so crazy. Like, it blew my mind that, I mean, obviously, we're all nerds here. And that cordyceps thing really did sweep the web 3 years ago. But yeah. The fact that that was just something we talked about, and then all of a sudden now it's in a video game about zombies is pretty
that
cool.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, well, you threw it out there into the popular consciousness,
yep.
I guess.
Threw it into the ether.
I'm crediting you for that one.
I'm excited.
You know what? I was actually thinking about cordyceps recently.
Uh-huh.
And it's because I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, right? And that's sponsored by the company that Joe Rogan owns a little bit of.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Onnit. And they sell this thing called Alpha Brain that uses the cordyceps mushroom.
Really?
For, like, their nutritional supplement.
Weird, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And he's totally been like, yeah, it makes, like, ants go crazy and kill each other, but it's great for humans.
Dude, funguses in general are crazy, like, the way that they have such psychedelic effects. Like,
yeah, well,
not
again,
old, like,
if you talk to Joe Rogan about that.
I know Joe, I'm sure Joe Rogan has plenty to say on that.
He honestly believes that... hallucinogenic mushrooms came from space as a way for humans to psychopathically communicate with other living beings on other planets.
Wow.
So there is that fact. That's another video game idea.
Yeah, there's also the theory that, like, monkeys developed language by eating psychotropic fungus.
I don't think that's true at all. I'm pretty sure what I've heard is that, you know, oh, there's a great term for it. I forget what it is, but it's basically like evolutionarily something happens, but wasn't, you know, obviously there's no purpose in evolution, but something happens and it's like a consequence of two other things happening. It just kind of happens to fall in between. And it was like when humans developed the part of their brain that made tool usage better. Like the early humans who were better with tools survived better and then reproduced more. And then that part of their brain started getting bigger and bigger because of, you know, evolution. And then that kind of coincidentally triggered speech. It's just kind of a byproduct of tool creation. Huh. That's what I've heard anyway.
Well, the world may never know.
Yeah, source, who fucking knows? Something I heard at a bar, possibly.
Right. Something I heard on a weird podcast.
Yeah.
I was just so stoked. So,
2010 that I made up.
It also cracks me up that, like, 3 years ago, we were still just pitching movie ideas on this podcast. We've come so far, Jesse.
Yeah, I know. Doing trivia.
Yeah.
And getting drunk.
So I can't wait for 2016 Aquaman Elder Gods movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just a video game. Who knows? let's do a little bit of Facebook roundup. But before we do it, we want to just once again let you know how you can get in touch with us. Please, guys, please send us an email. personalargots@gmail.com. We love to get your emails. We also love to get your voicemails. You don't have to just be named JR to leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. Anybody can do it. Anybody can call and leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the podcast. We have played 100% of the voicemails that we've gotten so far. So if you want to get on this podcast, just leave us a voicemail. You'll be on here, I promise.
Even the bad ones. No, my favorite voicemail has been, though.
Which one?
The one where the guy took the bong rip and said it's legal now.
Yeah.
And I think he said critical hit, too.
Yeah, he said critical hit. It's legal now. That was it.
Yeah, send him more bong rips.
I like the one where the guy just said, fuck it. We even played that one, guys. So you can literally leave whatever you want on there. Just mark it as drunk dial in your phone and let us know.
Yeah.
We know that Josh from Texas loves to do that. So, Anyway, so you can leave us a voicemail. You can also please rate and review us on iTunes. Once again, we're doing a rate and review drive right now. Now's the perfect time to do it, guys. There's about 10 minutes left in the show. So just log into iTunes. Takes less than 10 minutes. By the time you're done, you'll still have show left to listen to. So go into iTunes right now, rate and review us, and that helps us out a ton. We really appreciate that. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, please go to baldmove.com. I know Roger Dotti's doing it. And that's why he's in silent zone. I was actually thinking about Roger Dotti today, and I was like, what happened to Roger? And then he sent us an email.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Should we say what the title of his email was?
I didn't see.
It's missing you.
Yeah. I'm missing you too, Rog. And he's our Kentucky colonel, you know? So anyway, please go to baldmove.com. Roger Dotti's going there because he's hooked on the Night's Watch and he's giving them tons of feedback. Also, Mad Men Happy Hour, guys, Mad Men is so good. Oh, I love Mad Men. Please watch it and please listen to that. Up Yours Downstairs got a brand new episode up talking about Mr. Selfridges on PBS. Any British show that's Masterpiece is coming over to PBS. They're going to talk about it. And guess what? They're going to say fuck in their episodes, which they don't say in PBS. So get that happening. And then, of course, the Because Show's on there as well. Ladies talking about lady stuff the way that we talk about our guy nerd stuff. And you know what? Just as ladies listen to our show, guys can also listen to the Because Show. It's very great. It's a very reciprocal relationship and we enjoy it. So please go to baldmove.com. There's plenty of great stuff there. Check that out, please. Let's move on to our Facebook roundup. Facebook page sitting at 178 likes, guys. If you want to like us on Facebook, we'd love that because we post a thread there every single Wednesday and ask you to give us topics to talk about. And gosh, you flood us with this stuff. We love it. So we're just going to run down. Joe Green says, opinions on the Avenger actors wanting more money. Which decade had the best music in the last 50 years? Two different questions, same paragraph. First of all, Avengers, give them the money, dude. Iron Man literally made more money in one weekend than Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 made in their entire runs. These movies are gigantic, and I want that money going to the people that we're paying to see. So if they want money, give it to them, because you're still going to make a wad, Disney. Just pay the people.
Yeah, let them negotiate. That's fine.
That's fine. And then which decade had the best music in the last 50 years, Jesse?
70s.
I'm going 60s, because I'm a big Motown fan.
Yeah, Sam more of a 70s guy.
I like the Temptations, but then you also have the British Invasion. I don't know.
Sure do.
Do it. Angela Martinez, please comment on the Voodoo Bacon Maple Ale. And then just in case we didn't know what that was, John Dominic linked us to it. Apparently Rogue is making a Voodoo Donut Bacon Maple Ale.
That's been out, like, forever.
Oh, I didn't know. I looked for it today. I couldn't find it.
It won some sort of award for its packaging.
Yeah, it looks like a Pepto-Bismol
bottle.
I'm not
really that interested in drinking a beer that has bacon and maple in it. You've gone too far.
You've gone
Reel
too far.
Reel it in, guys.
And you could go to Portland, you can go to Voodoo Donut and just get a bacon maple donut.
Yeah.
And then drink a beer with it, because there's plenty of good beer in Portland. Like,
yeah. Like the number one city or something.
Let's bring this stuff together, yeah. Sean McDonald says, R.I.P. Ray Harryhausen. I'm saying R.I.P. Ray Harryhausen. There's a really good documentary. If you don't know who Ray Harryhausen was, he was basically that guy. You see all those stop-motion dinosaurs fighting each other from, like, the 30s? Like, in those old-timey movies? He basically was the king of B-movie stop animation.
Yeah.
And there's a great, I think it's called, like, Science Fiction Guys or Sci-Fi Guys. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary. If you don't know who Ray Harryhausen was, that's a great documentary to watch. You have Peter Jackson on there talking about how much Ray Harryhausen influenced him as a filmmaker. And he influenced a lot of guys like John Carpenter and basically all these guys who helped build the sci-fi genre and the fantasy and the horror genre. They all talk about Ray Harryhausen because he was the guy that they watched as a kid who animated these amazing things that we now do in CGI and we used to do in clay. So Ray Harryhausen, totally RIP, died this week. Levi Jetty, have you heard about this beer thing in Colorado, Jesse?
Only in passing.
Ridiculous. Okay, so apparently they want to make it so that convenience stores and grocery stores can't sell beer that has over 4% alcohol in it. So that you can't buy beer at... I think the thing is you don't want to buy beer at convenience stores and then drink in your car and get drunk and crash. I don't know if there's any actual scientific research that says this helps. But what that does is the flip side of that is that they can't sell beer that's under 4% in bars.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Super weird. First of all, completely backwards. And for the longest time, they didn't enforce this, and now they're actually enforcing it in Colorado. I think people know where we stand in terms of beer legislation based on our beer tax talk a couple weeks ago.
Right.
This is ridiculous, guys. Let the beer flow.
Let it flow. I love session ales. I'll drink a 3% beer, and I'll like it.
Kevin Cobb says, Arrested Development Season 4 on Netflix, May 26th. I could not be more excited. I'm going to binge watch the hell out of that thing.
I could not be more excited to have a Cardinals quarterback following our show.
Me neither. Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that. Former backup to the Eagles. Go Philly, JR. Anthony Arenivas says, Any news on the new Xbox release date? And also just read... Will not require an always-on internet connection or some features. That's definitely a byproduct of the Twitter fiasco that Xbox had.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, always
some features,
on.
Including giving them money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing that. I mean, I'm an Xbox guy. I don't know why I'm not a PlayStation guy. PlayStation has better graphics, and you also don't have to pay for the internet connection, but.
Graphics. Went down for like 2.5 months and lost everyone's credit card numbers.
Yeah, but I've been there. I know what that's like. Josh Perigo says, Have you guys checked out the new show on IFC Marin? It's about a guy who podcasts out of his garage. It's funny, but it's too much like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't think it will last. I watched the second episode. They had it on IFC.com, and I'm a big Marc Maron fan. I listen to Marc Maron all the time. I listened to two of his episodes today because he was interviewing Gillian Jacobs and Allison Brie from Community. I watched it. It wasn't like the most groundbreaking thing, but I like Marc Maron a lot. So I'm gonna digest Marc Maron as much as I want. And IFC has a reputation of giving shows a chance. So I think it'll be around for at least two seasons. Jacob Jones Martinez has sent you guys a message about the karaoke song. That's why we sang Queen at the beginning, because that was Jacob's thing. Roger Dotsy says, Did we ever figure out where the Wild Things actually are? I don't think we did. But I think that's a topic for another show, Roger. Thank you so much for chiming in. We always love to hear your voice. Derek Romaine, I've been trying to rate you guys for about an hour now, and Apple just wants to make this as hard as possible, I guess. First wouldn't let me make an Apple ID, then said my password wasn't my password, won't send me a new password, Ann says my birth date isn't the birth date, so I'm working on it. Get off my back. Derek Romaine, thank you for working on it. We're not saying Apple iTunes is a great program. In fact, it's probably one of the worst programs on my computer. I hate it with a vengeance, but unfortunately, it is the best place to put your podcast if you want to get it noticed. So we thank you for your patronage. We thank you for your tenacity, and we thank you for your rate and review. Derek, we couldn't thank you enough. Jesse, that's the Facebook roundup for this week.
Get off my back.
Get off my back, Jesse. What's your first reco?
I realize I'm about 30 years too late on this, but I'm going to continue to recommend it anyway. It's Cosmos with Carl Sagan. It's on Netflix. I am watching it for the first time. I'm sure everyone is like, yeah, I watched that when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
I'm watching it for the first time. It's awesome. Really enjoying it.
Yeah, I wasn't on that boat either. Maybe I need to check this shit out.
I think we were a little too young for it.
Uh-huh.
It came out in like 80. So I was not watching Carl Sagan in 1980 for sure. But it actually like very straightforwardly answered one of the biggest questions I've had, like concerning the nature of science and everything. I was like, oh yeah, this is how it works. I'm like, oh, well, that's awesome. I'm glad I know that now. And it's just super entertaining. Carl Sagan's really cool. Super passionate guy. He's got a funny voice, which makes it easy to listen to. I think I might be Carl Sagan for Halloween.
Do it. Yeah, we have our Halloween costumes picked out. We're doing a couple costumes this year.
That's what you said last year.
We're doing it for reals, though.
What are you doing?
Can't tell you.
Cantina band?
Yeah.
That's what I just heard.
Boop, 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 boop. We need two more.
Who gets to be Fingered Dan?
Oh, come on. Not even a contest. No, Elsa, she's got the head shape right now.
True. She does have kind of the looks.
I should not make fun of your baby's head.
Also, her name is Russell Nisha.
There you go. My first recommendation this week is going to be a blog that I read religiously. It's called Lookout Landing. And then there's another blog that is about baseball, and it's got the greatest stats breakdowns that I've ever seen. It's called Fan Graphs. I learned this because I've been talking to guys from Lookout Landing and from other Seattle Mariners baseball blogs on my podcast, Sea Dog Press Box Podcast. Shameless flash marketing recommendation. Jesse, what's your second reco?
Well, just because it sounds so cool, Philly Beer Week. If you're in the great Northeast, check it out.
And then my second reco this week is going to be Seattle Beer Week. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, it's not as crappy as we said it was. You should check it out. There's actually some really cool stuff. Jesse, thanks so much for being on the show.
I would love to go and participate, but it's too far away.
Too far away. Jesse, thank you so much.
I live in the woods.
I appreciate it. I had a great time this week, and this 9.5% stuff is really working for me right now.
That's good.
I'm stream of consciousness like Jack Kerouac, and I'm ready to watch a Netflix show and then go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm ready to smooch my fiance.
Well, there you go. I'm going to smooch my wife. I was just about to say that. And I don't want my wife to think that I wasn't going to say that.
There you go.
So, we got stuff to do. So, until next time, listener, thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review us on iTunes. And remember that wherever you go.
And whatever you do, you curse that mushroom.
Please stay
arrogant.
Thank you.